Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Cholamandalam Financial Holdings Limited Q4 FY23 investors conference call hosted by Axis Capital Limited. As a reminder, all participants' lines will be in a listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note this conference call is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Praveen Agarwal from Axis Capital. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Agarwal.
Thank you, Vikram. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to this earnings call. From the management team, we have Mr. Sridharan Rangarajan, Director, Mr. V. Suryanarayanan, MD, Mr. S. Venugopalan, CFO, and N. Ganesh, Manager, and CFO to basically discuss the key highlights of the results. I would request Mr. Sridharan to give his initial remarks. Over to you, sir.
First of all, good morning to all of you, and thanks for taking time for participating in our call. I have with me Suryanarayanan, MD of Chola MS, and Mr. Venugopal, CFO of Chola MS, and the CFO of our company, Mr. Ganesh. The consolidated total income for Chola Financial Holdings for the quarter ended March 2023 increased by 39% to 5,281 crores, while the profit after tax increased by 31% to 901 crores. The consolidated total income for FY23 increased by 25% to 18,376 crores, while the profit after tax increased by 26% to 2,810 crores. Cholamandalam Investment and Finance Company, you might have attended the call. The entire details on the presentation and transcripts were available, and I'm sure you would have gone through that. I'll just give a broad highlight of that. CIFCO gained market share across product segments in vehicle finance and other business units. Disbursements were at 21,020 crores for the quarter ended, which went up by 65%, and 66,532 crores for the full year went up by 87%. Total AUM stood about 112,782 crores, which is up by 36%. The profit before tax for the full year was at 3,600 crores, went up by 25%. The asset quality also improved from 3.51% in December 2022 to 3.01% as of March 2023. Cholamandalam MS General Insurance registered a gross premium of 1,776 crores in Q4, increase of 27.9%, and the company crossed the 6,000 crore mark, and they did 6,200 crores for the full year, an increase of 27.6% over the last year. I would also request Suryanarayanan to make a brief comment about Chola MS General Insurance, and then we'll open up for Q&A.
Good morning, everyone. Thanks, Sridhar. As was mentioned by Sridhar, Chola MS recorded a GWP of 1,776 crores in Q4 and 6,156 crores for the full year. The growth rate at 27.6% was strong and compared to the multi-line insurers' growth of 16.3%, meant that Chola MS enhanced its market share to 2.87% amongst multi-line insurers. The growth was across all lines of business with growth rates of 33.4% in fire, 26.8% in motor, 36.7% in health, and 16.7% in personal accident line of business. The company grew across all its channels. In its captive channels, business from the sister company and the Insurance Express outlets grew by almost 20%. Bancassurance business grew by over 50% and with the addition of new tie-ups in Tamil Nadu Mercantile Bank and South Indian Bank. Growth from the new channel acquisitions across OEM platforms, financial partners helped attain the strong growth. Chola MS investment portfolio corpus was at 14,680 crores and with no net exposure to stressed assets, meaning that all of the stressed assets have been fully provided for. Recoveries from the fully provided exposures in ILFS and Reliance Capital would be recognized on cash basis as and when it happens. Chola MS registered a combined ratio of 104.2 in the quarter and 109.3 for the full year. The claims ratio for the quarter was at 70.8 and for the full year at 71.2. The company ended the year with a profit before tax of 264 crores, solvency ratio of 2.01 times. With a net worth of about 2,160 crores, Chola MS earned reserves over the years constitutes about 81.5% of the net worth. That, ladies and gentlemen, is the summary of Chola MS results. We shall now open the floor for questions.
Thank you very much, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. We will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. To ask a question, please press star 1 on your touchtone phone now. Take our first question from the line of Atul Mehra from Motilal Oswal Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Good morning and thanks for the opportunity. So just one question in terms of at a broader level, if you look at the listed entity, are there any plans in the medium term or the near term to unlock value for shareholders from the perspective that there's just two entities? One is Chola, which is a listed entity, and the other one is a general insurance business, which perhaps can be listed at some point in time. So I ask, given the substantial in terms of discount the company trades at to underlying value. So just thoughts around this would be very helpful, sir.
So thank you. I think this question has been posed to us every now and then. I think as we stated earlier, our aim is to carry out both the business well, and that's the primary objective of the management. Both the businesses, the NBFC and General Insurance, are doing really well at this point in time, and we would like to present how they have performed, what's the future hold for them. And it's up to the investor to take a look at it and value the company accordingly, and we will stay with that stance as we earlier stated.
Right. Right. I understand the perspectives are on business performance, but just that at a board level, is there any, in terms of discussion on this particular point, given the substantial value that can accrue to the shareholders of this entity, if and when an action is taken? So just trying to ask more particularly about the structure of the entity rather than the underlying performance. Underlying performance, I'm sure, is obviously doing very well.
As and when a board takes a call, definitely we will get back. As of now, no such discussions.
Got it, sir. And so secondly, for the GI business, is there a listing plan? Because there are a number of other GI companies which are listed. So from that perspective, anything on that particular element?
Look, I think if you look at the capital adequacy of GI business and capital required for its growth, both in terms of the insurance business as well as some of the investment they would like to make in terms of, software upgrades, and some of the digital assets that they would like to own and then improve the productivity of the business, they are adequately capitalized, and we feel there is enough and more that they can definitely look at for the growth trajectory what they have been projecting at this point in time. So definitely, as and when if we have such a plan in terms of requirement of capital, we would definitely look at it. Our joint venture partner has a similar view, and I think we will explore this as and when we feel definitely there's a need for us to do.
So there's one final question on GIA, in the sense that maybe at some point in time we can look at a universal license, or in terms of GIA companies being allowed to do other insurance products. So is there a plan to get into life insurance at any point in time, and as and when this opportunity perhaps opens up, or it's too early perhaps to talk about it?
So I think we are definitely observing the developments in this space, but I think we require more granular details, which is awaited. I think most of the industry is waiting for such details. And then we would take an appropriate call depending on how the guidelines would evolve. And based on that, definitely we would take an appropriate call on that.
Got it, sir. Thank you and wish you all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. We'll take our next question from the line of Ansh Nigotia from SIMPL. Please go ahead. SIMPL, I'm sorry. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. Sir, congratulations on good set of numbers. Sir, in case of our operating expenses, ex-commission, the run rate has actually started to moderate despite higher growth. So as a percentage of net written premium, it was hovering around 41, 42, 43%. This quarter, it's around 40%. If you could just help us understand, are there any reversals, or are there any savings in marketing expenses? Where are these savings have started to come from? And incrementally, how do we see this number shaping up?
Yeah, if you are talking about the car element of the cost of management, it is 33.4, and for the YTD FY23 is 38.1. We have been able to reduce from the previous year Q4 from 38.5 to 33.4. It is basically the reduction is on account of a higher growth in the GWP and the corresponding NWP part, as well as there is a, whatever the savings that are possible in the acquisition cost. These are all the two elements that are led to a reduction in Q4. Continue to, examine the reduction in the, expenses of management by way of, reducing the acquisition cost as much as possible through the, in spite of the business growth.
So this is largely the marketing expenses, the customer acquisition cost that you're talking about?
Yes, yes. The other fixed costs are, will also come down basically because of the top line growth. You can clearly see that the top line growth in the Q4 also has resulted in the reduction in the acquisition cost as well as in the expense of management.
Also, sir, over here what we understand is that because of higher competitive intensity in motor insurance was leading to such high customer acquisition cost for us. So any comment if you can give on the competitive intensity right on motor insurance and how it is shaping up? Also, how were we participating in this competitive intensity before, and how now we are participating in the competition right now?
As I have mentioned before in earlier calls as well, competitive intensity in the industry for all lines of business continues to be high, and motor is the exception at that. But what we are beginning to see is some tightening in the market in terms of the pricing of discounts, and with the advent of the OEM limits coming in effective April 1, we do see that some of the larger players are more conscious of what is being put out in the market, so which is good for the industry and good for almost all players there. Given the trend of motor OD loss ratios, this reduction in discounts is something that is badly required for the market. And Chola MS, as the fifth largest player in the motor line of business, is more than happy to sail in this direction of reduced discounts.
And sir, now that we are at an EOM of, you know, still very high, around 40-41%, and the regulations are giving a direction to come down to 30%. So this 10% gap, where do you think, how we can bridge this gap, which line item, where maximum savings will come from? So some thought process on savings incrementally, savings initiatives that we undertake.
Yeah, so this expenses of management is always seen in relation to gross written premium and therefore should not be confused with the COR computation, which is based on net written premium. The as against the 30% limit that we have from effective April 1, 2023, we are at about
36
on a comparative basis.
Yeah, we were at 36 in March 2023 compared to 38 in March 2022.
So the point is the number is 36, which is there even in our published numbers, and comparative number from the previous year, it's about 2% down. The regulation had also prescribed a 3-year glide path, for which we do have a plan for continuous reduction over the next 3 years to conform to the 30% limit. The board is seized of the matter, and we should see the we ask our cost structure going down the glide path as planned.
Okay. But which line item do we think can have maximum possibility of savings?
It will have to be across the lines of businesses. Besides, there will be some advantage that will accrue to the company by sheer growth in size. As I have maintained before, our operating expenses will now get absorbed better on a larger base, which will also provide some relief in terms of the overall EOM.
Okay. And in case of commissions, the run rate is lower by 1-2%. So if you can help us understand the same.
Can you repeat the question?
Commissions, normally the run rate is around 35-40 crores, a gross return premium of 1500 to 1700 crores. This quarter, the gross return premium was 1767, but our commission expenses were just 15 crores. So I think a delta of around 25 to 30 crores is there against the normalized run rate. So any reversals or why is this run rate so low?
No, commission is as per the, if you are talking about the, you know, the Q4, am I right?
Yes, sir, about Q4.
Q4, that's, you know, it's as per the ADA part of this thing. So if you are talking about the commission net, please, you know, understand that if you are looking at the revenue account, commission net, it consists of both RA commission as well as the gross commission. Okay, in the Q4, there are various treaties running on a sliding scale basis, wherein based on the loss ratio at the end of the year, there will be a, you know, RA commission accrual that will come as a part of additional. Hence, the, you know, net commission looks lower. Actually, this has to be seen from the point of view of, you know, gross and the net. The net is of RA commission.
Let me explain. Chola MS conservatively recognizes the reinsurance commission through the year, and when numbers get crystallized at the end of the year, it recognizes the full reinsurance commission as per the treaty. So naturally, you will find that the quantum of reinsurance commission that gets recognized in Q4 is generally higher, as we do adopt a very conservative method of recognition, but then at the full year level recognizes the effect of operations for the full year.
Okay. And so in case of when we look at all the segments, fire, motor and health, our business momentum is stronger than the industry and strong market share gains continue. So if you can touch upon individual segments, what are we doing differently that is helping us gain market share, like in fire, also motor and health, that would be really helpful.
So So let me begin with fire. So fire, there are a few drivers that have helped us grow. One, our volume of business from the bancassurance segment has gone up in the previous year, and with the new tie-ups coming, it should help in growth in the current year as well. Besides in fire, our newly set up verticals for SME business and volumes from the larger Indian corporates has also grown well over the last couple of years. In motor, we have, as is clearly visible from the deck that is put out, we have diversified the portfolio. We are now part of most OEM programs in cars, in two-wheelers, and which has helped us diversify and grow in cars and two-wheelers, which helped us enlarge the pie in terms of the motor business. Health again, we are seeing both the bundled attachment health benefit business, and our growth in the health indemnity has also been there, though still the proportion is smaller as compared to the proportion in the benefit business. So these have been the drivers.
Thanks a lot. I'll come back in the queue.
Thank you. Participants who wishes to ask a question at this time may press star 1 on their touchtone phone now. Take the next question from the line of Swarnabh Mukherjee from B&K Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. So, two, three questions. First of all, on the channel side, wanted to understand what transpired in the broker and the direct channels. So, broker, as I see, has been, you know, quite a good growth driver for us in the previous quarters, but this time the number came in a bit low. So, anything specific to read out there, or would it continue, you know, or would it bounce back going ahead? That was my first question. Same for direct. Second is, in terms of the fire business, so with the IIB burn rate related deregulation that has happened, is there any initial trends that you could highlight which would help us understand the current scenario? And thirdly, in terms of the motor business, so I see that a large part of the growth has been driven by private vehicles, given that the competition level, what we hear about, is very strong there. So how should we think about in terms of our loss ratio for the segment? Also from the fact that we are also starting to see growth in the CV business to come back. So how should we think about the loss ratio in the motor segment in the upcoming quarters? And given that it has seen slight elevation this time, what would be the factors for the same? So those are my questions, sir.
So on the brokers business, reflects the volumes that we get in motor from the OEM tie-ups, the retail broking entities, as also the volumes that we get for the commercial lines of business. Generally, you will see that the commercial volumes are lower in Q4, so as compared to the other quarters. People wait for the volume and the business happens on April 1. So that's the only broader trend as far as the broker volumes are concerned. On the fire business, yes, with IIB benchmark rates going away effective April, we have seen a dip in the property premium pricing. It's not just for us, it's there for the entire industry. One set of segments, what we charge for the pure fire and earthquake rates, that has come down. But the pricing for the STFI risks, so that is actually gone up, which is for the storm, tempest, flood and inundation. So that segment has gone up. The combined effect is that we have seen about an average price reduction of about 8 to 9% for us in April. And the numbers for the industry in the fire line of business is out. Actually, it is. I can see that the overall growth in this line of business itself has been rather muted this year as compared to the previous year. which means this effect is going to be there for everyone. On the third question relating to motor, I think now we have reached a stage where the mix between the three categories of two-wheelers, cars and commercial vehicles would more or less settle down. As you have rightly mentioned, the volume in commercial vehicles will be better this year, which is the wider expectation. And given Chola MS traditional strength in this area, both arising from the sister company as also the other larger tie-ups, we do expect the proportion of commercial vehicles to go up, leading to a slightly amended mix as we from the one that we see now.
Yes, sir. So just wanted to come back on the last question. What I wanted to understand was also your thoughts on how the loss ratio might shape up because of this change in the mix. And also as a follow-up to the previous question in terms of fire segment, wanted to understand that given that this year for reinsurance rates, it's seemingly a hard market, so possibly the rates might not go down very significantly, but is there a risk that when the cycle changes and we move towards a softer market, the impact, what you have mentioned about 8 to 9% can be more?
See, first on the motor loss ratios, see, it's now even for the industry and for us, we have been around this stable mark of around 68 to 70, which has definitely gone up by at least about 10% as compared to the numbers that we used to see, say, a couple of years back or pre-COVID period. So, which is the effect of price discounts. But as is stated earlier in the call, so market is seeing some tightening with respect to discounts and pricing. Hopefully, we should see that helping the loss ratios as we go along at least. But then what we have to counter is also that the parts prices and labor prices are also on the increase given the inflation in the country. So this price increase would effectively neutralize such price hikes in the material and labor parts. So that's the broader direction that I would like to mention on the motor LR part. And coming back to the fire, yes, reinsurance rates have gone up across the industry. And hopefully one can expect a softer regime if overall losses across the globe pare down and in India also if we are fairly better off on the cat losses. Last year, of course, the increase for the Indian industry was more a reflection of the higher loss levels across the globe and not necessarily a reflection of Indian losses. So a good year on the Indian subcontinent would mean that hopefully the rates will cool down.
Sir, can that result in, like you mentioned, that in the pure fire and earthquake rates that has come down because of the regulation, once the reinsurance market turns soft, can there be a higher negative impact coming out of this?
I'm sure, yes, corporates would seek a price reduction at that level. It is fair to assume that corporates would seek a reduction if loss ratios continue to be low and manageable.
Got it, sir. Got it. Very helpful. Thank you so much, sir, and all the best for FY24.
Thank you. We'll take the next question from the line of Sanket Goda from Avendus Spark. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. Sir, in the previous quarter, we alluded to the point that we might get into low OPEX products like crop or even commercial lines to some extent to achieve the glide path of 30% in 3-year period. So it still remains the same or we believe with the existing business model we can reduce it to 30. That's my first question.
The company has started participating in the tenders for crop insurance.
Okay.
So it's we are planning for a portion of the business to come from crop, which incidentally would also help us on the glide path.
And any internal target you have, sir, to be crop as a percentage of the total business, for beyond which you might not be comfortable doing it?
We would ideally like that to be around, sub 10%.
Okay, perfect. Perfect, sir. And the second question, sir, was that to previous question, you alluded that the acquisition cost has come down. And if I see in the fourth quarter, the marketing spend, which was around 260 crores in third quarter, has reduced to 219 crores. So I just wanted to understand that, is it that we consciously reduced our exposures to the products where the acquisition cost is higher, probably like two-wheelers or cars, where the competitive intensity is higher, or is it largely just wanted to understand that captive business increased and therefore that marketing spends were lower. This, if you can review the granularity, the reason why I'm asking this question is that this 104 combined improvement predominantly happened because of the expense ratio improvement. So just wanted to understand the durability or the sustainability of this combined to remain at 104, or what you guided for maybe 24 kind of a number.
It's a combination of both. The enhanced volumes from our captive markets, sister company, as well as our Chola Insurance Express outlets, plus a pairing of high-cost businesses from certain quarters. It's a combination of both is what has contributed to this. Plus the effect.
Sorry to interrupt, sir. So if captive volumes are seasonally or due to any reason are higher in fourth quarter, and if the contribution from a full year point of view, captive business remains similar, then from a full year point of view, that 38% or 36% from EOM point of view will improve. Is the whole point? And accordingly, what would be the likely combined ratio you are expecting it to be?
See, we ended the year at, as I said, about 109% of combined ratio for the year. While it is certainly not a guidance, we would certainly want to reduce that by at least 200 to 250 basis points for the current year. I think that is the broad direction that I would probably say that we would be working for.
And then this will be largely achieved by OPEX improvements, sir?
It's a combination of what we will have by OPEX, reduced sourcing costs, as also the loss effect, the claim ratios in certain lines of business. It will be a combination of all three.
And that claims ratio improvement, sir, I just wanted to understand because we are already one of the best in the loss ratios in the industry at around 71, 72. Or even lower than that, but to the extent I understand, health is the one segment where you can see an improvement because you have taken price hikes there, which will have a full year benefit in FY24. But we don't have motor TP price hike in the current year, so just wanted to understand, given motor TP price hike is not there and health, if it improves, net it will negate. So still you believe there are levers for loss ratio to improve?
See, our expectation is that the non-motor proportion has been increasing, so which should help broadly. Okay. And as you rightly mentioned, our health loss ratios with the price corrections, they should tone down over a period of time through the year, which should also help. I agree with you that on the motor third party, in the absence of price corrections, we would only continue to step up our inflation-linked provisioning. And of course, as we have always mentioned, we have not recognized any Motor Vehicle Act related benefits into the numbers which are there from April 1, 2022.
Right.
And there we would also await the final Supreme Court decision on the matter.
Got it. And last two questions probably. One data keeping, what is the average duration of bonds, what we own today? And second, in a broader sense, in the entire OPEX what we have, just wanted to understand how much is fixed in nature and how much is variable in nature, so that with growth, the leverage story, we wanted to understand that better. So if you can give these two data points, would be useful, sir.
I think the bond duration is at about 3.7.
3.8.
3.8, Venu confirms. So it's about 3.8.
Okay.
And yes, the company will take advantage of the rate position, as also the volatility in the markets for monetizing gains as and when they arise. So that part will be there. And given the fact that we have over almost 63-64% in GSEC bonds, all of which have been invested, so this volatility will give us some opportunity as well. So that is the first part.
Yeah.
So the second question on the OPEX part is that I should tell the investor community that this year Chola MS is also embarking on a tech and data transformation program, which will entail some spends. See, we have been operating a fairly legacy system which requires a revamp. So the board has decided to spend some money in transforming the tech piece and also setting up a data analytics architecture. So thankfully, this spend will qualify for the additional allowance that the regulator has put out. So the while that may have some strain on the overall EOM, the board and we believe that this is required to, for the company to incur this expense at this juncture for further growth of not just volumes but in efficiency and productivity as well.
Sir, can you quantify the number? How much you intend to spend?
I think we should. This is a program of 3 years, and I think we would like to complete this program and share the progress as and when we do it.
Perfect, sir. Perfect. Okay. Thank you. Thank you for answering the question.
Thank you. Anyone ask a question at this time, press star and 1 on your touchtone phone now. We take the next question from the line of Ravi Purohit from Securities Investment Management Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking the question and congratulations on good set of numbers, sir. I just wanted to kind of, you know, get a broader, understanding from you on the ROE path that, you know, our company might take, the general insurance business might take. I think historically, let's say a couple of years back, we used to be a fairly high ROE business. Last 2 years, of course, there we had write-offs earlier, and then last year there were significant jump in operating expenses. And I think you alluded that to in a couple of calls. So going forward now, where do you think, our normal ROEs of the general insurance may settle down in what range, and what would kind of drive that? If you could just share a little insight into that.
Yeah, our current ROE for March 23 is around 9.2%. Definitely, with the profit growth contemplated for the subsequent period, we are looking at around 14-15% ROE.
We are looking for 14-15% ROE in the current year itself, in FY24 itself?
Yeah, it would be around 14%, yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. To ask question, please press star 1 on your touchtone phone now. We take the next question from the line of Prateek Podar from Nippon India Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Am I audible?
Yes, you are. Please go ahead.
Okay, thank you. So most of my questions have been answered. I just wanted to check with the team. In case there is a capital raising event in CIFC, would Chola Holdings participate like we have done last time?
Can you repeat the question,
yeah,
please?
So I think we will definitely evaluate as it comes, depending on the funds availability and capability to rise. Last time we did participate and we maintained our shareholding, so we'll see. But it all depends on the quantum, timing and other aspects related to that.
Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star 1 on your touchtone phone now. Take a next question from the line of Devansh Nigotia from SIMPL. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Thanks for the opportunity once again. So are you looking to raise any capital in Chola General Insurance? And any comment if you can give on, since our investment leverage is at 6 to 7 times, so where do you see we find comfortable investment leverage?
We are in the, you know, high level of, you know, leverage in terms of both net worth and, GWP. We will continue the same level and maintain that part in the future too. That's one of the major advantage for Chola MS in maintaining such a high multiplier on the investment side.
To add, actually, our proportion of motor business gives us this high leverage. So as a company which has almost 2/3 of plus in the motor line of business, so the cash accretion contributing to the investment corpus is high, providing this leverage.
Okay. Because our ROE that we guided is around 14-15%, while our business growth, when we look at, is upwards of 20-25%. So the investment leverage will keep expanding. So that is where I'm asking that, where do we find comfort beyond which we will look to raise capital?
See, capital is a function of solvency level. So as long as our solvency continues to be strong, we are at 2.01 times. And this is sufficient to look at the growth for the next year and the internal accruals that will come in. We hope that will be sufficient to sustain the growth at these levels.
So this
multiple, I think, has nothing to do with the capital, because that is driven solely by solvency.
And the risk-weighted factor-based solvency which is being proposed, how will that affect our solvency ratio if implemented?
These are under discussion by the regulator. It has not even been put out as any structured framework. We will have to wait to see. But then I would broadly tend to think that we are largely a retail business. Still about 80-82% of our business is retail, and with granular risks. So a risk-based solvency method should not affect us if one were to look at the models that are there globally.
Okay. What is the outlook on the claim ratios for the next year, for FY24?
So this was answered in part earlier. So as was correctly mentioned by one of the speakers, in the absence of motor TP price revision, the motor TP loss ratios will tend to go up if we have to provide for inflation, both in medical expenditure as well as the wage levels, which will lead to an enhanced severity in motor third-party claims. So that will be the push factor. The reduction factors is probably the efficiencies that we would look at emanating from the health line of business and the motor OD line of business, with the two of which are fairly large lines for us. So I would tend to think that we should be fairly successful in maintaining the LRs at current levels on an overall portfolio basis.
And so just a re-clarification on the EOM regulations, which is applicable for 1st April. So for next 3 years, by FY26 April, we have to comply with 30% norm for EOM as a percentage of gross premium. Is that the right understanding?
Yes, you're right. The glide path is up to March 26.
March 26.
Bring down to the level of 30% plus additional allowable for rural and insured tech expenses together. We should achieve it by March 26.
Okay. And with the change in accounting policy which is proposed for based on if we go to IRDA accounting, does that change the way we are recognizing expenses in OPEX as well as commission? And any insight if you can give how that can change our P&L?
Actually, we have not changed any of our accounting norms with regard to acquisition cost and expenses.
The question is, if you adopt the Ind AS or IFRS going forward, will that impact?
Yeah, sure, it will impact. Basically, we need to wait and see how the regulator is framing those regulations. IFRS is allowing for the deferment of the expenses in line with the revenue recognition. We need to wait and see that part. If that comes as a part of PEAS without any interference from a regulator, definitely we will get the benefit.
Okay. So, can you help us understand the variable payouts except commission which is reported within OPEX? How much would be that amount?
You want the breakup of the OPEX? What is that you are asking?
Yeah, so what we understand is that the variable commission which is recognized upfront in the P&L, but in case of IFRS, it will be deferred based on the timing recognition. So just wanted to understand within OPEX, what would be that variable expenses which currently are booked upfront in the P&L, but might be deferred going forward if the IFRS accounting is implemented.
As we have mentioned in earlier calls as well, the company has a fairly strong level of long-term premium, both in motor as well as non-motor. In motor, we carry somewhere around 1,450 crores plus, for which the future premium, which is not reflected in the P&L, but then the expense has been fully absorbed. So that itself, given the current market rates, would be somewhere in the region of about, let me say, about 300 crores or so. So that is there, which is fully absorbed. So if there is a change in position only with respect to motor, so that's the kind of effect that it can have, not just for us, but for all players in the industry. And as we have said in the past before, the non-motor long-term premium continues to be fairly strong. So that there also, where we are actually bearing the cost for a premium, the benefit of which accrues over a longish period, 3, 5, and 10 for the different lines of businesses, that also is supposed to help us. So from a cost absorption point of view, company continues to be conservative, and the regulator is now examining to see, even as a prelude to IFRS, if should permit insurers to absorb costs over the tenure of the policy. So that discussion is also on. So, which would mean that it would exactly be a reversal of the absorption that we took in the year 21-22.
Okay. And so, in case of when we look at our, if we normalize the PAT, so we are guiding around 280 to 300 crore PAT for FY24. If we work with 14% ROE, and we're guiding for similar claim ratios, so then the benefit from operating expenses would be around, I think 70 to 80 crores at least. So this is largely the savings will be customer acquisition costs if you can just help us understand more on how the savings will come.
See, Venu has already given you a broad indication, so I would leave it to the team to do the math.
Okay, thank you, sir, for answering all questions.
Thank you. To ask question, participants may press star 1. We take next question from the lineup, Ajax Frederick from Sundaram Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. Sir, we are intending to improve our combined by 200 bps. Do we factor in the tech spend in this improvement? Like, this is post our spends in tech. Is that right?
Yeah, it consists of both capex and revex. So, you know, it is considered in the, you know, planned period 23-24.
Okay, sir. Thank you for that. And my second question is, sir, the intent of IRDA is to improve efficiency and pass the benefit to the customer. So when we improve our efficiency and bring the expense limit below 30%, how will the benefit be passed to the customer?
I think there will be reflected in the growth that it will bring because of the passing on, and hence it will also offset some, you know, higher growth will translate into higher benefits, some compensation that will be passed on. So net-net, it will travel in the trajectory that we have been traveling.
All right, sir. That's it, sir. Thank you. That's it for me.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question. I'd now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments. Over to you, gentlemen.
So thanks for the attending the call and also raising various questions and seeking clarifications on the company. So it was a good, fruitful year for Chola MS that ended with March 2023. Even in 23-24, our intent would be to continue on the growth path and grow at least at 1.3x of the industry growth. If industry growth is 15, now we would like to grow at about 20%. So which means that we would continue to see stepping up of market share. And on the profitability, as we have indicated, the growth in investment corpus will provide solidity in terms of investment income, which should help the improvement in the ROE. And directionally, as was mentioned earlier, we would like to pare down the combined ratio by about 200 to 250 bips from the current level of 109%. Thanks, gentlemen.
Thank you very much, sir. Ladies, on behalf of Axis Capital Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining with us. You may now disconnect your lines.